Our leap year presidential extravaganzas have always struck me as being for the birds, but I'm drawn to the spectacles like an oven bird to radio tower lights. In spite of the attraction, all the hoopla is unsettling because the people leading our nation are so clearly not for the birds. Knowing birds expands a person's vision and gives them a sense of place and balance. Sparkling sunlight on a Blackburnian warbler's golden plumage makes the opulence of White House finery appear mere fool's gold. A bird defending its territory first with eloquence and song, second with bluff, and only last with an all-out attack makes you think about just which battles are truly worth engaging in and about the real meaning of diplomacy. People who watch birds are usually first attracted by dreams of taking wing in the vastness of sky. They may be earthbound, but their vision extends far beyond their own narrow interests. American presidents who indulged in a passion for birds include such visionaries as Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Franklin Roosevelt, the last member of the American Ornithologists Union to sit in the White House. People who understand birds understand that by defending them, we defend ourselves. Rachel Carson didn't only save songbirds, after all. The banning of DDT in the United States lowered the levels of this toxin in human tissue as well as avian. Like canaries in a mine, dying birds warn us about hidden poisons, but political parties frivolously ignore the danger like Scarlett O'Hara dancing at the Wilkes' ball in the shadow of war. Deforestation of our southern neighbors proceeds inexorably even as we patrol the Persian Gulf. Irreplaceable tropical plants are annihilated along with birds every day. Perhaps we've already demolished the cure for AIDS with a chainsaw. And dead trees can't absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. They can only release it into the ever-thickening walls of our self-imposed greenhouse. And all the while, our toxic dumps multiply, and our groundwater, oceans, and atmosphere become increasingly contaminated. National security depends as much on internal as external enemies. We need a sense of proportion in balancing defense needs with environmental protection. We spend billions of dollars on a speculative Star Wars shield against a hypothetical missile attack, while our essential ozone shield is destroyed. Our predominant strategy against military threats is to build up our national deficit, along with defense contractor profits, by buying weaponry that often doesn't even work. Yet our only strategy against the real devastation of acid rain is to do yet another scientific study. The candidates only use the environment as a cheap attack on one another. The Republicans ridicule Governor Dukakis's environmental record with taunts about the reeking Boston Harbor. Meanwhile, the Democrats decry Vice President Bush's loyalty to an administration that gutted the Environmental Protection Agency. Yet neither candidate has shown any real commitment to actually solving the problems because neither one has a clear understanding about or interest in the natural world. We need a wise president, one who can strike a balance between development and preservation. We need a tough president, one who knows that national security depends as much on defense against invisible enemies in the air and water as perceived human foes. We need a compassionate president, one who treasures every kind of American because he knows the value of diversity in any natural system. In short, we need an ornithologist in the White House once again, a president that is genuinely for the birds.